to the old me, scared and unseen. You're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive. Turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes of the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This is keep it real, keep it purpose bound. Every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place.
From working side by side, to working together, to working wonders. Accelerate your operations with IT/OT Convergence. Transform the everyday with Siemens.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Edna White, and I'm so glad you're here today on Keeping It Real on Purpose. Yes, you are in the right place for real conversations that point you to your power. Topics like mindfulness, health and healing, conscious living, personal transformation, emotional intelligence, spirituality, life purpose, and wellness in every aspect of your life, career, and business. So all you have to do is bring your fullest self for thought-provoking talks. So today's topic is going to be about something that I just went through and experienced. How to deal with the imposter syndrome, especially before it blocks your success. So you know us, we think that we don't have any of those issues going on, right? I never thought I would, never thought I did. I just thought, hey, you know, That was my thing, you know? It's my thing. And I probably didn't feel good about myself. So I figured, hey, probably was me. You know, and maybe I was just giving myself some negative talk. As I thought about it and I thought about where I was, and I remember I said, I can't believe I won this contest, or not contest, but I can't believe I won this award. I can't believe I did this. And my friend said to me, Wanda said to me, why not? I was like, why not? And then I was like, it never registered until I experienced what I just experienced. And it was eye-opening for me. And it was real revealing, and I found out that I had the imposter syndrome. Okay, so have you ever doubted yourself and your capabilities, believing it was just luck that brought you where you were, despite your credibility and your credentials you built in years? I did, because I thought there had to be luck involved in that, you know, for that to be kind of happening. Do you ever ask yourself if you were good enough, even in the back of your mind? Do you ever doubt that anyone will find what you say interesting or valuable? Or why would anyone listen to you? I know I had those kind of talks with myself when I first started speaking. Have you ever felt paralyzed in the middle of a meeting? Just remember everything you wanted to share in that minute, and it was over. Like you, and even to go behind yourself and say, I should have said this, and should have said that, and should have said this. Yeah. Well, here's the big one. Have you ever felt like a fraud? And most of us are not going to admit that. So that's okay. but it's not okay. If you want a well-rounded, beautiful, happy, loving life, an abundant life, you gotta admit where you're wrong. You gotta admit where you are. You gotta admit and make a correction. So I ask many women I coach those questions, which is so hilarious. Some are open about it, and some are hesitant to share their feelings as they label it as weakness and they try to push it aside. I didn't label mine because I didn't think it fell in this category until I started learning. Because I always delve into things when I start questioning myself and why did I say that? And then someone would say something back to me. I was like, okay, what is this about? And I would, you know, kind of delve into myself, dig deep in myself, and then start reading and researching what the problem was. So I didn't know I had these emotions and feelings when they sometimes creep in. And, you know, we're human. And remember that we're ever evolving every day. These are feelings of self-doubt. When they control or take control of your brain, they inhibit any other feelings of self-worth. So what I was feeling when I was saying, I can't believe, I was doubting myself. I was doubting the credibility I have. And I was doubting what I learned, what my education was, doubting my experiences, and just downright doubting my and not trusting myself. And I said, where does this come from? Now I know it came from my past. But when sometimes when you're around a lot of people and, you know, we're in the Zoom era. So let me just lay that out there. We're in the Zoom era. Everybody's on Zoom. And some of the Zoom meetings are like dead weight. It's like, and I call it, it's like looking at ghost faces and no one's excited. Nobody's colorful. Nobody's, yeah, they're just like muddling through life. And yeah, there's days I feel bad and then there's days that I feel good. You know, most of my days I feel good, you know, and I'm happy about it and I'm learning lessons and the situations may not be, may make me sad, but I'm joyful and I'm learning to appreciate the things that are in those moments that mean a lot. And being around people who do not celebrate themselves, it's number one, it's maddening. Number two, it's so toxic. I don't even think I've ever grown up around someone that's really hasn't celebrated themselves. Maybe been unsure, or because we're young, but celebration was one of the things that we did, you know, whether we understood it or not. Shall I say that? But I'm now involved with a group that doesn't celebrate, and it annoys me, number one, because every day that you wake up is a celebration. And I think taking control of those feelings, if you don't take control of celebration, happiness, you begin to shut down. And our cognitive abilities then are kind of pushed away, and then we start either fighting, flight, or we freeze when any of those feelings show up. So it's like we revert to old caveman times, you know, the grunting face, the face that's plain, you know, no emotions, don't know what anything is. You know, you just have that same emotion over your face the whole time, and you grunt at everything. I don't want to be like that. So I bring that up because being around that, you have to get out of it. You have to shake that toxicity off. So, you know, hours have to leave me like that. I have to go away, you know. And I'm being truthful about this. So I was in the mode, I self-doubted myself. I doubted myself and I pushed away the feeling that I was enough. and I froze. So I was in the froze mode when I said, I can't believe that this was me, that I got this, that I was worthy of this. So we're no longer in the extraordinary. We get pushed out of that zone of being great, and we're pushed back into that zone of the comfort, you know. And comfort is great, but it doesn't get you anywhere. You know, comfort is what almost everyone has, but living on that edge and enjoying that edge is really where we ought to be. You're not alone. We all felt that way at one time or another. And it boils down to fear. And it's called imposter syndrome. Now, for the first few years of my career, I knew I was an imposter. Because when I started my career, they said, buy this big car, you know, and I never wanted a car. Never wanted, like, those big cars, you know, I never wanted them. Buy a big car, get a big watch, dress this way, dress that way, and you will. Then I was going to church, dress this way, dress that way, and you will. And those two areas in my life were synonymous because I was uncomfortable most of the time because I think I'm pretty much hot-blooded all the time. And I didn't like to wear most of the clothes that I was wearing. Couldn't wait to get home and rip off the stockings and rip off the suit. I couldn't wait. So I can truly tell you, I was living so like an imposter in those years. And let me tell you, that was 29 years of imposter syndrome. So when I got out of it, so I was totally, totally free. I was like, no more stockings, no more long dresses down to the ankles to prove anything to anybody. No more long shirts that would suffocate me in the summertime. None of that. I was free to be me. I was free to look and dress the way I wanted to. I was free to be able to enjoy the freedom of choice. So I attempted to live up to this idealized self-image that, you know, my society, which I was around, which was the religious society, and my work society. So I decided... And I figured success was involved in that. So I said, okay, I'm going to have success in these two areas. There's nothing wrong with having a spiritual success and a business success. Nothing wrong with it. It was great. It was great until it was no longer great. But inside, I was miserable. I was never believing that I was good enough. I was always feeling embarrassed to talk about my achievements. I was unable to receive any praise from someone. I was not feeling worthy, as if I didn't even deserve what he or she or them were giving me or saying to me. I just felt lucky, or felt like the environment helped me, or someone nominated me, you know, like no one just looks at me and thinks that I'm worthy of anything. This is what I thought years ago, but I'm trying to relay to you that those things can come back. You have to get them out of your mind and move forward. And I was the only one around at the time that somehow I managed to fool the people around me. I managed to fool everyone around me. And sometimes it worked, I would say it worked most of the time, but what it didn't work on, I was anxious, slept very little, and I was always waiting for the shoe to drop until I really found out that I was a fraud. Can you relate to that? Can you just really honestly relate to that? See, I was walking and talking in this language that only I knew, and I didn't know. I was walking and talking a language that somebody told me to talk. I was dressing like someone else told me to dress. I was doing things that somebody else told me to do. Until one day I woke up and I said, nah, that's not good. That wasn't good. And I always had prided myself on being genuine. But I felt more like a fraud, felt more like a phony when I was in the religious sector than anything in my entire life. Because I believed that God, universe, made me different from everyone else. And I can treat, that's my internal dialogue. And that was my internal dilemma. So it started inside of me. These feelings were so negative. I was always angry, disgusted. You know, I would do a good work and it didn't get any notification. Didn't even get a thanks because I'm supposed to do it. And so what happened? I started avoiding feelings. And more and more and more avoiding feelings. I had become a walking zombie. I thought if I worked harder, if I went to church more, if I studied more, if I did more, and if I never said no, if I tried to please everyone around me, if I earned my degrees and my accolades, I will be able to drive the fear of being discovered as a fraud. Because I was. And you know what? Thinking about all of that, being discovered as a fraud, I was not scared no one else was going to find out. I was scared that I was going to really find out. And that all that I built was going to come crumbling down. The only thing that this all ever built for me was it increased my anxiety and my stress. And it helped, it created a pile of stuff that I had to dig out sooner or later and find myself. I externalized the wins because that, you know, I externalized it. Yeah, that's what I'm supposed to do. And I internalized the failures and the setbacks. So I second-guessed everything. Like, I should have said this instead of that. I should have did this. And I was doing all that inside. I became fixated on not making a mistake. I avoided risks. I became reactive rather than proactive. I was working harder than anyone else. And I convinced myself, no one is going to get one up on me on the job that I was doing. Total fraud. But it was just the opposite. It was just the opposite. The deep feeling of fear stopped me from speaking up, from asking questions, from saying something stupid where people would find out. Or, you know, that I was afraid of. You know, that if I asked this question, I know it's going to sound stupid, you know. Then one day I began to start speaking out and asking, because no question, I tell my grandson, no question is a stupid question unless the receiver doesn't have the answer. And I found that to be true a lot, too. I was constantly waiting for that project that I would not be able to finish. Despite my track record of successful delivery, I had to keep proving myself with this self-fulfilling prophecy of failure. Imposter syndrome. That's what I had. And I had just a bit of it, not syndrome, but I would say, this week, I had just a bit of the symptoms, and I quickly corrected myself. So what is imposter syndrome? It's feelings of self-doubt or feelings that like a fraud, feeling that you have somehow fooled everyone around you all these years, that you have somehow succeeded to fake it till you made it. I hate that plague. And that is one of the biggest failures of successful men and women. Imposter syndrome is magnified as a self-sabotaging system where one feels not good enough. You know, when they're saying, I am enough, I'm enough. Do we really believe that? We just say because somebody else told us to say it, or it's a thing to say. But am I enough? That subconscious probably is telling you, no, you're not enough. But you can say it. It looks good. So don't fake the funk, please, please. It messes you up psychologically. And, you know, it makes you feel that you don't deserve the success no matter what you achieve. So when you achieve something, you're not supposed to say anything about it because that's what you're supposed to do. And no one's supposed to say congratulations because that's what you're supposed to do. Please, all that does is dig you in the hole of imposter syndrome, no self-worth, and you're not enough. It digs you into that hole. And from my experience, don't say it was just pure luck, because it's not. You were in the right place at the right time, and the right person saw you. And the right people will congratulate you. Imposter syndrome is not necessarily a symptom of low confidence or low self-esteem. So I had it, and I didn't have low self-esteem because I did a lot of things in my life. I didn't have that. I had self-confidence. It's not necessarily a symptom because I didn't notice it. So you understand, I didn't notice it because, you know, I just said, I'm this must be some luck or something, you know? It can also affect very phenomenal, successful people, such as myself, and has nothing to do with how educated you are, how many certificates you have. The roots of your syndrome might lie deep in their upbringings, family dynamics, and cultures. Now, those three things, that deep in the upbringings, family dynamics, and cultures. Culturally, where I was at the time in the religious sector, it was deemed for me not to be rewarded for that because that's what I was supposed to do. Anything I did for that particular, that's what I was supposed to do. You weren't supposed to get congratulatories or you look great or that was terrific, great job. No, that was what you're supposed to do. And I know that some of us can agree. So why does this imposter syndrome exist? Let's talk about the brain. The brain, the first function of the brain is to protect us and keep us safe from real or perceived harm. So that's what the brain does. Unfortunately, our brain never evolved since the caveman era. So we're always training it through vibrations, through habits, through, you know, just doing different things and experiencing the different things. We're always training it. It fails to understand that we are no longer in continuous danger. You know, needing to depend on our survival instinct. The brain is a survival instinct. Our intellect comes from our intuition, and that doesn't put us in survival mode. So the brain will try to keep us in the comfort zone, you know, that place where, you know, keep your nose to the ground, head down, do what you gotta do, go home, do what you gotta do, don't get nobody stirred up, don't say anything, get everybody to the ruckus. That's what your brain tells you. It fails to understand that we are no longer in danger. So we have to be pushed out of the comfort zone. You know what your brain does to you. It regurgitates every single challenge, every obstacle, every setback, or even failures. It just brings it back up that we ever had or that we ever heard from someone. Our brain pulls us back to the safety. Like, you can't go there because, you know, if you go past this mark, oh man, this is what you're going to get. Remember that? And it brings it up. Our brain pulls us back to the F system. Fight, flight, or freeze. And that brain's dangerous, I'm telling you. So the default of our brain thinking is negative thinking. It always thinks negative. It doesn't think positive until we speak it, until we believe it, we vibrate it. None of that comes out of the brain. Positive thinking requires a lot more than blood supply. It's a conscious effort to uninvite the negatives, and it happens so easily. It can happen that easily. When your brain is thinking and you want to be positive, you don't even realize it's being negative. You're just right over it. Your positive energy, your intuition is thinking over it. It's overriding it. The energy is overriding it. And you begin to create habits and, you know, do things differently and make different patterns in the brain. That's why it starts to respond. That's why it tends to change. Our backgrounds, cultures, genders, race, family situations, parents and teachers affect our beliefs, our attitudes, and the messages we grow up with. Man, does it do it. And that's what contributes to the development of imposter sense feelings. So, like, if you grew up in a critical family who always criticized you and never praised you, if you were never told that you were intelligent, if you're never encouraged you can pass a C, if you weren't done like that, or you wasn't given that or nurtured that way, those feelings begin then. So it's usually, this is where I found out where I was, because I thought I was just saying something. But this is where I found out the three main categories of imposter syndrome. And I want you to write these down, because I want you to remember these. Write them down so you can remember. Number one, feeling as if you're successful. Success was pure luck and you had nothing to do with it. I'm going to say it again. Number one, feeling as if your success was pure luck and you had nothing to do with it. Number two, you are a fraud. And number three, Cooper. Number three, discounting success as if it were no big deal. How many of us do that? Oh my gosh. I think discounting success as if we were not, if it were no big deal. I don't ever want to go back to doing that, because it is a big deal. That's what we're here for, is to create big deals and celebrate them and be happy about them and be proud of them and smile about them and accept the compliment. That's what we're here for, you know, to change that vibration. Because if we don't change that vibration, we'd have those straight faces, you know, with no emotions. But my syndrome lied in feeling as if your success was pure luck I was like, oh my goodness, that's me. So I had to hurry up and get that out of me. I had to hurry up and find out where it came from and nip it in the bud and said, that won't be me again. I am more than enough because I didn't earn this by luck. It was because of who I am. That's why I have that. That's why I got this. So how do you deal with it? Here we go. Okay. So the first step is the dealing with imposter syndrome is to understand it and remove it. Just like I said, remove any association of shame, disgrace related to it, recognizing that we all have it in different degrees. It's natural and it's normal, but it's easier said than done. And I don't even like to say that it's easier said than done. You can say it, now you have to do it. So let me say that. You can say it, and now you have to do it. Behind that, you have to put some action. So when you catch yourself feeling as an imposter, start differentiating between the negative feeling and the reality. So for me, the reality is I received that award because I put in the work, I put the application in, and it was accepted. So whatever I said to them was part of me, and I deserved that. Not luck. Luck had nothing to do with it. Okay? Feeling strong about something does not make it right. Or reality, for example. If I feel strongly about not being worthy, then I must be non-worthy. Now that's a whole bleh. It's not even real. It's not real. That's when you have to discern between the negative and reality. We have the power to reshape our lives to be better. We have the power. Nobody else can come lay hands on you. No one else can come across the hall and hand you a note. No one else can say what you're going to be. Your mother can't even tell you what you're going to be. Because you may want to go. She may tell you when you were a little child, oh, you're going to be a doctor. Then you turn around and be something else. So that is an imposter syndrome. But that's another story. When you start thinking negative about a skill or a thought you have, try to think about one that proves or demonstrate that it's real, just like I told you. My thought for myself, the negative thought, would I win this by luck? No, I did not. I took the time, put the application, I must have forgot about it, and I put in my words down on paper, and that's why I won the prize. And that's why I deserve it. That's how I talk to myself. That's how I got myself out of it. Imposter syndrome is a feeling of misery and anxiety. It can rob you of happiness and joy from your own life. Not anyone else's, but from your own life. It can affect even personal lives where you can feel unloved by somebody, and who you're with, it spreads to them. Like to say, oh, well, he doesn't really love me. And it's your own thing. It's your own stuff. It's your own issues that you have to clean out. So the change needs to come from inside out. It's going to take some work, and it doesn't happen overnight. But it's worth every step, and that much time, it's worth that quality time, it's worth it. You see, it has its advantages because it has the ability to what's happening to you, why you're doing it. In the positives of the imposter syndrome, it acts as a survival mechanism. So I learned that when I was, in the religious sector, I learned that being someone else was comfortable for me because I didn't like who I was before, or I didn't think that was enough because I was beaten, you know, beaten down in my spirit and as well as my self-esteem. So I didn't think that anyone would like me until I was shaped or conformed to whoever I was around. And so in my survival mode, I accepted wear the long dresses, you know, press your hair down like this. You can't do this. You definitely can't look here. You can't go there. You can't say that. So I accepted the direction because it was a survival mode, because I was not sharp and I was not attentive. I was ashamed. But when you realize you have the imposter syndrome, you begin to speak out, begin to free yourself. Now, me coming out of that particular situation of spiritual bondage, it wasn't overnight. It was step by step. It was as soon as I realized it, and that was 20 years later, and then I was like, I could have left 10 years ago because I heard the same thing. Same thing happened to me, but I was able to, this time, not ignore it, not avoid it, not flee, not numb out, not fight. I was able to identify because I did not intend to intensify the imposter syndrome. I was grateful and I was satisfied with the results that I unearthed myself. And I could see myself being able to achieve dreams and goals. You know, I could set a goal and it's done. And I achieved so many and so much. And I celebrated them. And I talk about them. Part of my journey facing my imposter feelings is truly accepting, admitting that I deserve the success. I worked hard. I paid dearly for it, and that I'm good enough and smart enough to demand the recognition. I started journaling my success way back to remind myself of my value. I learned to celebrate, and I learned the importance of assertiveness and how to say no instead of trying to please everyone. I learned to accept praise and compliments. That was the hardest part, I want you to know. Very hard. Without turning red or without feeling shameful, or shy, or deflecting the compliment by simply answering, thank you. But I would say, you're great too, and reflect it back on them. I was able to say, receive a compliment and say, thank you. You know, and that's all you need to do. And smile and say, thank you. Today, I claim my role in the success of any projects I did and are doing. I give credit when it's due. But I own my success and even brag a bit about it. I deserve it. I stopped making excuses, dealt with my own limiting beliefs bit by bit. I took back the control of my life, and I know you can take the control back in your life. And I accepted myself inside and out. And I accepted my perfect imperfections. I understand what perception of reality is, subject to mental filters that taint how we act. I understand that. So the plan of attack, ladies and gentlemen, for the imposter syndrome is in two parts. Part one, A and B, dealing with the fears confronting you and bringing them to the surface. B, implement constant committed changes. Second part, dealing with the fears. Number one, face it. Don't ignore it or hide from it. You'll just make it bigger than it is. And then when you return, or when it returns, it comes back in a vengeance and you won't have a great life. Two, claim it. There's no shame in being afraid. We all have the masquerade. We all are chameleons. We all are shapeshifters. So owning that fear takes away its power by accepting it without fighting. All our emotions are valid. We cannot ignore them or sweep them under the rug. Three, name it. Labeling the fear is identifying it. So I labeled my fear as imposter syndrome. And I know when it shows up again, I know how to treat it because it has a name. I never knew how to name it before until I started delving into it and researching. So name it. Label the fear. Is it fear of failure, fear of ridicule, fear of loss, or even fear of success? It might not be easy in the beginning, but practicing awareness, living in the present, writing it down, meditating, asking yourself questions like, why am I feeling this way? Where did I get this fear from? When and how did it start? When you name the fear, you are feeling, you give it a face, and it becomes a possibility of change. You're able to deal with it. Four, rewrite the script. Reverse it. Build the positive emotion muscle. Build on it. Think back about a time where you achieved success. And I did this the other day. It was so great. And I just like running around the apartment. Me and my papa like running around. And I was so excited. I built upon that with a feeling that I had of something that I was so grateful for. And something that I did on my own. That was the best of me. And if you have to, write it down. How it feels to be hopeful, happy, optimistic, fulfilled, based on that memory. Think about something that caused you fear but turned out great. I know when I moved to China, that was great fear. But it turned out so great. Recalling these emotions changes the brain's chemistry, like I told you earlier. It changes that brainwave chemistry. And it releases positive chemicals like oxytocin and serotonin. Makes you smile and laugh and revives you. Five, release it. Get to know your body to realize how fear manifests itself on your body. Do you feel anxiety in your heart? Does your back have spasms? Do you get headaches? Focus on the part that is affected while taking deep breaths. Deciding that fear will not control your life is the beginning. Then only one choice you'll have is to change. Shifting your conscious and taking action. Boom. Six, reinventing yourself. So fear is driven by reverse thinking. To obsess about what could go wrong as opposed to what could go right. Reinventing it by reverse engineering is the best remedy. Make fear your friend. Let it serve as a window to your future. Start thinking about the worst case scenario and prepare for it. Instead of thinking, what if? Start acting as if. Say yes instead of saying no, and say no instead of saying yes, if that makes sense. Empower yourself, ladies and gentlemen, by being grateful for what you already achieved. I told my friends one time, we're all together, I said, we don't celebrate what we've done. And I said, I'm looking at two amazing women who've done so much, and I started calling off some of the things that I didn't even know and I had learned in the past year about them. And I said, you've both done some amazing things. I'm sitting amongst some empowered women, some powerful women, and we don't celebrate our accomplishments. So I told them, I said, I want you to go get your resumes. So, you know, we was at one of my friend's house, so she pulled hers out of her folder, but the other one had it on her phone, and I pulled mine up. I said, now let's go through what we all did. And we were sitting there cracking up laughing, and because we realized the amazing things that we did. And we started celebrating amongst ourselves. That's what everyone should do, is learn to accept your accomplishments. And then when somebody gives you a compliment, accept it. You know, just say thank you. And so with a beautiful smile, receive it. Receive it. Just like we get rid of toxic people, let's get rid of toxic thinking. You know? Practice kindness to yourself so you can learn how to be kind to others. Believe that everything in your life starts and ends with you. You are the master of your destiny. Live your life the way you want to live it, not based on someone else's expectation. Own who you are. Accept it internally and externally. Do not, and I'm going to repeat, do not wait for anyone's approval to validate you or ask for permission to be who you are. It is perfectly fine to stumble and fall sometimes. Obstacles are opportunities in disguise. Life will never be pretty all the time, and it's not meant to be. Success will not be constant at all times. It's never constant either. There will be ups and there will be downs, and we'll need to ride the wave no matter how tall it is and enjoy it like the surfers do. You know how the surfers, they get on that wave, man, and they ride it, and they fall off, they get right back on. See, we need to do that. There's so many things that teach us in life. We don't see it. Every now and then, like I just told you, I suffered imposter feeling, but not the syndrome. I realized that they will never go away completely, but now I know what to do and how to feel about them and how to deal with it. Now that you have a name for what you've been feeling, what are you going to do to overcome the imposter syndrome? If you have more ideas and you want to share them with me, please email me, or on this post, just leave your comments, you know? Because I do believe that there may be more symptoms of the syndrome that I don't know, but I just wanted to share what I went through so that you, when you feel it, when you recognize it, when you hear what I'm talking about, you can recognize it and deal with it. Boom, boom, boom. This is Edna J. White, and I hope that this recording helps you realize that you are enough. Remember to like, to subscribe and share this podcast. And next week, we're going to have my co-host back on again. So look for us to be talking about something spectacular. And also look for me on YouTube at EJW Coaching. Look for me, find me on YouTube. I'm there. Subscribe, like my channel. I need your support. Thanks so much for listening to Keeping It Real on Purpose.
Even though severe cases can be rare, respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV, is still the leading cause of hospitalization in babies under one. RSV often begins like a cold or the flu, but can quickly spread to your baby's lungs. Ask your doctor about preventative antibodies for your baby this season, and visit protectagainstrsv.com. The information presented is for general educational purposes only. Please ask your healthcare provider about any questions regarding your health or your baby's health.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.